Good morning. Happy Sabbath to all of you.
Happy Sabbath.
I would like to thank you for coming to the Work Bee on Sunday. It was a nice time for us to get together and spruce up the church. Those of us that were working outside, it looked like we were highway workers, but an extensive amount of work that we were doing and digging underneath of the sidewalk and then jacking it up to level it out so the people didn't trip on it because it had sunk down. It was a tripping hazard, and it was hard for May to get her walker to go across that. But it was times when we kind of was rotating in shifts and one person would be digging while everybody else was sitting down and cooling off. And you know, the Bible says there's a pastor should not sweat, and I sweated a lot that day. Well, I'd like to speak to you from Luke chapter 11. As I look at this chapter here, this whole chapter is dealing with this opposition of the Pharisees to the ministry of Jesus Christ. They called him master or teacher, but really, this was just another way of admitting that he was just a normal person addressing someone who taught a lesson somewhere. But they were not really admitting that he was either a master or that he was really a teacher. That was just being courteous to him. They wanted a sign. Perhaps they wanted to see some sign in the sky, like in Joel chapter 2, verse 30. Have you read that text? Let's go to that. In Joel chapter 2, in verse number 30. And if you look in the Old Testament, there's Ezekiel, then there's Daniel, Hosea, and then Joel. And we're looking at Joel chapter 2, verse 30. In Joel chapter 2, verse 30, it says, "And I show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." And maybe this is what concept that they had. They wanted to see Jesus to perform some kind of a circus act. Maybe they wanted him to do something that was out of the normal. They wanted to see something happen that wasn't every day. Or maybe they wanted to see something happen like Moses did with his brother Aaron when they stood before Pharaoh. And Moses reached down and grabbed a snake and turned it into a staff. Maybe they wanted to see that kind of a miracle. In the trial of Christ before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders demanded a miracle before Jesus could be accepted by them as the true Messiah. Herod wanted to see a miracle, and he promised to release Jesus if he would just perform a miracle. So many people are looking for miracles today. They want to see some miracle so that they can believe. And if all we're believing in is miracles, we're always going to be disappointed. Amen. Requesting these signs of miracles of Jesus. This was an insult to Jesus. This was an insult to him and the ministry that he came to perform. It was a denial of those miracles that he had already performed for them. Remember the story of the wedding feast of Cana, where he turned the water into wine? That was a miracle. In fact, in that miracle, Jesus' mother said to the servants that are there, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Good advice, isn't it?
Amen.
That whatever Jesus tells us to do, it's good advice for us to follow that. What about the blind man that Jesus healed? Or people who were crippled or deaf? Or those who were lepers? What about those miracles? What about Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, and Jesus resurrected him from the dead? They wanted to silence Lazarus and the witness that he was to give about the miracle resurrection in his life. And yet they knew all of these things, and they made no favorable response to them. There was no change in their attitude or their character. They were evil and adulterous, and they were in total apostasy to God. Look with me, if you will, in Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, at verse 27. Psalm chapter 73, at verse 27 says, "For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee." In other words, being unfaithful to God. And we see here that no sign for these people came because their hearts were hardened and they had apostatized from God. Their belief separated them from God. The miracles that Jesus had already performed, they refused to admit to them and to accept them. When I look at Luke chapter 4, what Jesus himself stood up in the sanctuary on a Sabbath morning, and he took the scriptures from the attendant. And in Luke chapter 4, it says there, beginning in verse number 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" You see, if they had been looking at the scriptures, friends, they could have recognized that everything about Jesus' ministry fulfilled the prophecies of who the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, they would have seen who he really was. That would have been a conviction in their heart if they had been comparing the miracles of Jesus and his ministry to what the prophecies had predicted the Messiah would look like. But they refused to look. Jonah was a sign. His experience with the sea monster, this big fish that swallowed him, it was a miracle that he did not stay in that fish until he was completely dissolved. It was a miracle that he was spit out onto the beach and came away alive. His successful preaching to this people of Nineveh was a miracle. Not in his preaching, but in the miracle that performed conversion for the hearts of those people who listened. There was a miracle, friends, in your heart and mine when we listen to the Spirit of God and he changes this cold, stony heart of ours and turns it into this loving, fleshly heart like Jesus. That's a miracle. Nothing else can make that happen but the Spirit of God. Nothing can change us but God. Christ's resurrection was the supreme miracle to this earth, friends. A miracle that in 3 days that he laid in that grave, he demonstrated what it was going to be like when he returns again. The miracle of the resurrection. Someday soon, Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to make everything that has gone wrong in this world, he's going to fix it. He's going to make it right. I long for that day. I long for the day when we'll see our friends and our families again. People that we have loved and who have gone on before us. Someday, the miracle of the resurrection will happen again. The sign of Jonah was that the people of Jonah's day, they repented when they heard the word of God. It struck them where they lived. They were listening. They were open. They were receptive to the word of God. Back in Psalm chapter 73, looking at verse number 28, listen to this. "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I might declare all thy works." Where's your trust at today, friends? In your 401k? In the job that you have? In the home that you sleep in at night? The money that you have in your savings account? Where is your security? Where's your trust and your hope this morning? I hope that it's in God. I hope that your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and his soon return. And the fact that someday Jesus will come back in the clouds of glory, friends, and there will be a resurrection. There will be a time when God's people will be joined together and go to heaven with him for eternity. These people that are spoken of here in Psalm 73:28, they had not hardened their hearts. The people in Jonah's day when he preached, they hadn't hardened their hearts. They were saved because they believed the message. Jonah worked no miracle for them. The miracle was that they believed in the message of God's word and his authority to make it happen in their life. It carried conviction to their hearts. Look with me in the scriptures. We're looking at Jonah chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 10. Jonah chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 5 through 10. So in Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth and from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, head nor herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of evil, of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Praise God for his mercy. Amen. Praise God for his grace. Praise God for his forgiveness. Praise God for Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to save each one of us. Praise God today. Jonah did not work a miracle. It was the Holy Spirit that worked the miracle in the hearts of the people of Nineveh. There was a miracle that day. A miracle that God would take these evil people of Nineveh, who were so wicked, and turn them into something different. And I would venture to say that every one of us, if we are comparing ourselves to other people in the world, we're no different. We're needing Jesus just like everybody else does. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need the saving grace of God that we find in Jesus Christ. That's the miracle that needs to happen in your life and mine on a daily basis. The preaching of Jesus should have touched the Pharisees and the scribes like it did in the city of Nineveh when Jonah preached. But it didn't. They only hardened their hearts. Jesus himself taught with authority. That's what Mark 1, 22 and 27 says. That he taught the people with authority. He wasn't teaching about traditions and fables and myths. He was teaching about the truth of God's word. And it spoke to the heart of the people who listened. And miracles happened when Jesus preached. Jesus always worked miracles, and these combined with his preaching should have convicted the people around them that he was telling the truth and that he was the true anointed one, the Christ. John 5:36 says, Jesus is saying, Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If they had only been looking at the scriptures, friends, they could have compared scripture with the life of Jesus. And they would have been convinced in their heart that he truly was from God. And I wonder how many of us today are looking at the scriptures on a daily basis and praying for guidance and enlightenment to the word of God. And are comparing what's happening in this world today with the word of God. So that we will not be deceived and miss out on the greatest miracle to ever happen in this world. The return of Jesus Christ. We need to be prepared. But you notice also in this story, in Luke chapter 11, that in Luke chapter 11, they were calling for miracles. And Jesus is giving them this ideal that there was miracles that took place in Nineveh when Jonah preached. But there was someone greater with those people that Jesus spoke to who was greater than Jonah. Solomon was convinced the queen of Sheba that God was with him, and she believed his words. And like Jonah, Solomon worked no miracles for the queen. And if the words of Solomon and Jonah were convincing, then the words of Jesus, along with his miracles, should have been a conviction. It should have convinced those people that he was ministering to that he truly was the Son of God. Some hearts are too hardened from sin to believe that Jesus still produces miracles. Each one of us here are a miracle today. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he has done something that is miraculous in our hearts. He has changed us from the way we used to be to what he wants us to be now. And I agree, we're not perfect. But when I look at the idea of perfection from the scriptures, it is a process of growth, of progressing in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean when it says, Paul uses the word perfect, he's not saying that we're without any fault or sin. What he's saying is that there is this process of sanctification where people grow day by day in Christ and they're changing little by little to become more like Jesus. That's perfection. the growth process, the changing that God wants to happen in your life and mine, so that we can not only be used by God in this last days to witness to people around us, but we can be ready to meet Jesus ourselves. What a shame if we spent all of our time ministering to everybody else around us and we were lost ourselves. For what would you trade your soul? What would you trade it for? What's so important in this world that you'd miss out on heaven? The greatest miracle to ever be performed is when Jesus Christ changed your heart and mind. A greater than Solomon or Jonah was with them that day as Jesus spoke to them. It was Jesus himself, the Son of God, the anointed one, the Christ, who had been spoken of from the scriptures. The people had longed for him to come. They had wished it would happen to their family, that the Messiah would be born in their family. They hoped that someday, in their lifetime, they would see the Messiah come to them. And yet when he came, they were totally unprepared. And how many of us are still longing for Jesus to return now? And when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find you and me ready to go to heaven with him? Jesus has instructed us to participate in the communion service because it not only reminds us of what he did for us at Calvary in cleansing us from all sin, it gives us an opportunity to confess today our need for Jesus. But it also reminds us of the day that Jesus will come back and take us to heaven, and we will sit at a large table up in heaven, and at that feast, Jesus will serve each one of us. Praise God. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be, friends, when you and I get to heaven. What a great joy that'll bring to our lives then. But friends, today God offers you joy in your heart now. A greater than Jonah and a greater than Solomon is with us here today because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. That greater one is Jesus, and he's here with you and I today. Today, I'd like to invite each one of us to prayerfully think about where we're at with Jesus. There's a need for confession, forgiveness. I pray that we'll take the time to work through that issue.